Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine, part two for this March 16th, 2023. It is 10:32 on the clock. You have your host, James, behind the mic, and we are joined by our great friend, Janelle Weir, horticultural educator with Wood and Marathon Counties with UW-Madison Extension. Good morning, Janelle.
Man, that's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful. It's a nice long title you got there. It's good. Janelle, it is so good to see you. It feels like it's been forever.
I know. It is good to see you, too.
Appreciate the time. I always learn and grow when I talk to you, and that was a pun intended. We enjoy so many of the times the conversations we've had over the years. It's a cool time to join for you to join us right at this time right now with what's going on with Mother Nature and everything, and I believe you're going to probably get into a little of that.
Absolutely. It's an exciting time. You know, I always think, let me pause for a second. I grew up in North Central Florida, and while we did have changes in seasons, they clearly are nowhere near as dramatic as they are up here.
Yeah.
When I used to work at Jung's Garden Center, and one thing I noticed while working there, and, you know, spring, everyone's excited to start growing, but then I really started to paying attention to when I left the garden center, and I was just at the grocery store or, you know, at the post office, and just recognizing everyone's general mood tends to be pretty good around this time of year. I think we're all kind of communally patting each other on the back as, I think we made it through another winter.
High-fiving each other.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Not to say that, you know, bad weather shouldn't be expected in the next, you know, month, 2 months.
Certainly.
But I think the worst is behind us. Even if we do get dumped with a lot of snow, we're not going to be seeing those sub 30 degree temperatures again this year. Well, not until we come back around again.
Right. So what is one of the things that we can do during this time of year as we're building and getting ready to get outside again and all this and to get in the garden and get our hands in the dirt? What are some things that we can be doing kind of right now to kind of bide the time, if you will?
So one of my favorite things, and I'm sure it's many of the listeners out there's favorite things to do this time of year, is starting seeds. The first thought is, if you're not familiar with starting seeds, you might be wondering, why in the world do I even want them? I can get what I need over at the garden center. Well, a couple of reasons why people like to start seeds. Number one, and this is probably my biggest reason, mental well-being. It is so exciting to see some green inside the house while we're waiting for the outside to wake up. Everybody that I talk to that starts seeds, this is part of their reason why. Second thing, and probably my biggest reason besides just, you know, keep from going stir crazy this time of year, greater variety, you know? Let's just pick on petunias, for example, right? You know, that you're going to be able to definitely find lots of different types of petunias at the nurseries in the spring. But if there's something in particular that you're looking for, some like maybe a certain color combination of double petunias, you know, things like that, you're going to find much, much more variety in the seed catalogs. So if you want to play around with something a little bit different, if you want your, you know, containers to stand out as being, you know, like, whoa, those are the envy of the neighborhood, that might be a reason to start with the seeds indoors.
I think a lot of us that grew up in houses with a lot of plants, like as soon as you started to talk about this and you mentioned that the mental well health and everything a part of this, immediately kind of like put a connection together, A to B to C, kind of like, oh, I get that now. My mother was always had a ton of plants in the house, and it didn't matter what the weather was like outside, if we, you know, had a lot of money or not, there always seemed to be a lot of plants in the house, and there was a good vibe with that. There was a good energy with that. I don't think that's a coincidence.
No. That's
interesting.
Actually, there's been some recent research to show that, yeah, that's not a coincidence. I don't remember the theory off the top of my head. I Biophilia, I believe,
that's
is what it is.
Yep. Couldn't think of it myself. You're right.
But there is an innate need for humans to have that connection with nature. And one of the ways that we can do that is by connecting with plants inside of our house. Yeah, absolutely.
It was really big to us, especially being in the city where there was no nature. we didn't have nature in the city. So having that plant life was really big for us at the time.
Oh, I could see that. Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely.
If people want to do this, what are some things that we can do to kind of help them like start, get going, especially when we talk about seeds and this kind of thing?
So my first thought's going to be containers, right? Mm-hmm. I am big on repurposing materials that you have around the house. Growing plants can be as expensive as you want it to be, but you can also do it on the cheap pretty easy too. So I always recommend, you know, if you've got cottage cheese containers, use them. As long as it's like a food safe container, takeout containers, they have the, especially if they got the clear plastic lid on top, that's just perfect. No matter what you use, whether it be a commercial containers or repurposing your containers at home, just make sure that it has drainage holes in the bottom. Mm-hmm. We're talking about those cottage cheese or takeout containers. Hot glue guns work great to melt those holes in the bottom. Mm. Otherwise, like a soldering iron works. You could use, depending on how thin the plastic is, you can pop it with a knife. But my experience has been I often crack the bottom when I do that, and I've recently been using glue guns. So
you crawled so the rest of us could walk.
Yes.
Thank you. That's awesome.
Just the other thing I would suggest too is just make sure those containers are shallow. Mm. 3 to 4 inches deep is really as deep as it needs to be.
What would we do next then?
So we got to put something inside that container, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that seed starting media. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different things that you can use out there. The one thing that I would say absolutely never use is garden soil, which you probably can't get it right now anyways.
Mm, yeah.
But you always want to use something that's appropriate for container use. And including when you're doing seeds. There are seed starting medias or potting soils on the market. This would be one time that I would say, you know, it might be worth it to get the specialized stuff. Mm. And I only say that because the seed starting medias are chopped finer. They're very, very light. Mm. In fact, I often ask people to touch it when I'm in seed classes, and I'll ask them, describe what you feel, and they're always surprised at how soft it is. It's very, very light. And it makes it so that way those brand new little baby roots can expand in the new potting media really easily.
If I can throw one just side thing out there, and this is not a necessity, but if you can do it, I encourage you to, a magnifying glass. Because you're going to want to see these things growing. It's fascinating. It's just awesome to me watching. And again, city boy here, so I'm kind of catching up on a lot of this stuff. But just like taking a magnifying glass to this stuff and seeing the roots or seeing the little hairs that come off of these sprouts of these things is just so interesting to me.
You just blew my mind.
Yeah.
I am going to be raiding my 4-H colleagues' stuff for magnifying glasses next time I do one of these programs. That's a brilliant idea.
It's just another little aspect of it that's kind of fun. What about when to start? To start doing something like that?
Sure, sure. In fact, I get that question a lot. Mm. You know, should I be starting, you know, X, Y, or Z right now? There's a lot that goes into deciding when to start it. But if we're talking about seeds, you have all the information on the seed packet. So our typical last frost date is going to be mid-May. Mm. So we'll take that as our kind of where we're going to work from. Now, that doesn't mean that mid-May will be the last frost or mid-May will be when you're planting, okay? But we got to use something, so we're going to use mid-May. Now, the seed packet's going to tell you start X amount of weeks before the last frost. It might be 4 to 6, it might be 2 weeks, it might be 12 weeks. It just depends on the crop. So you're going to take that mid-May, go back however many weeks that it says, and then it'll also tell you how long to expect the seeds to germinate. Mm. You know what? You may want to add that time in too. Mm. So let's say, for example, that mid-May is our last frost date. Our seed package says to start the seeds 4 to 6 weeks before the last frost. Mm. You know what I could, and let's say that it says that it'll germinate between 7 and 14 days. Mm. Well, let's take that 4 weeks, right? Yeah. So let's take mid-April and then add that 2 weeks for germination. Mm. This way, if they germinate a little bit early, you know, we're going to get kind of a plenty of room there,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I would say... probably the beginning of April is when you would want to start those seeds. Just, it really is, comes down to just kind of pulling out the calendar and counting back weeks when it's time to start.
It feels like one of those things too, if you enjoy it and get into a habit of it, it can be sort of like the spring cleaning thing. Oh, I always spring clean at this time of year. Oh, I always, you know, do the seeds this time of year. It can be something, a routine.
This is where I always go back to, have a garden journal, mm-hmm. and write down when you started. That's right. Stuff. Yeah. I actually had a friend years ago who got into starting geraniums. Mm. And the first year she started them right around the first of the year. Mm. Well, she ended up with geraniums that were just a little bit too big by the time it got to be April.
Oh.
So... The next year, she pulled out her garden journal, and she knew, number one, when she started them, mm. and she made a note of, gosh, I wish I would have started them a little bit later. They got to be a handful. And so she was able to adjust when she started them over, you know, probably about 3 years or so to get to just that.
That's
perfect.
So cool.
Time. But this is where that garden journal comes mm-hmm. in. Keep good notes.
You've mentioned that a number of times. I really encourage people to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a smart way of keeping up on these things. And there's just so much that happens in life. You can't be expected to remember everything. Give yourself a break. Give your brain a break and have this journal on the side so you ain't got to worry about some of that stuff.
Absolutely. I'm all about getting rid of the mind flies whenever we can.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. What about, we've got these seeds indoors. How do we keep them with enough light, enough water? That seems like a dire part of this.
Yeah, you know, plants require water and light. It's just a fact of life.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times people will start plants and have them on a windowsill. I say I'm a lazy gardener. Number two, I say that I'm a cheap gardener. This would be one of those times that I would say it's worth the expense to purchase lights. So most of the time, not even some of the time, most of the time, if you're doing seeds with on a windowsill, that's not going to be enough light, and you're going to end up with spindly growth. People tend to get really excited because they'll see their tomatoes stretching for the light, right? And they're like, oh, look how much growth there is. Look how big my tomato plants are. And what I see is this tremendous amount of space from one node to the next.
Yeah.
When that happens, that's leggy growth. Those plants are going to be susceptible to disease and pests later on. It's, even though they appear big, that's not what you want. You want short, stout, strong stems.
Mm-hmm. Good to know. That's a really helpful tip right there. Good, just advice, in fact, to know. When it comes to those lights, is this something that you can, like a lamp can work, or you need to get special lights for this?
So there are specialized grow lights that are out on the market that will be, you know, particular spectrums, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think for the hobby gardener, that all of the specialized lights are not necessary. Just get yourself a nice compact, or get yourself a nice fluorescent light. Or if you're not doing a lot of seeds, you know, what works really nice too is if you get those clamp lights and then put a CFL. I would just make sure that it's a daylight spectrum CFL, but it doesn't need to be. You don't need to be checking the lumens or anything like that. What would be more important is the distance to the plants. So with our seedlings, we want to get them between 4 and 6 inches from the plants. You want that light right on top of the plants.
Okay.
What happens is there's an inverse relationship between intensity of light and distance. Mm. So if the lamp is hanging on the ceiling, but your plants are just on a tabletop, it is not intense enough light. You really need to get that light right on top of those plants.
Wow. Oh, back-to-back, great, helpful advice there. That's really interesting. When we get these plants going and they're growing, we want to keep them healthy. We want to protect them. What's a way to do that?
So when we're thinking about setting them out. Okay, so this is going to be a few months from now. Mm-hmm. We've been taking care of these plants and had so much joy mm-hmm. watching them grow. And it's time to start getting them ready for being out in the garden. So I often use this analogy. I am, for those of you who can't see me, I am olive complected, mm-hmm. and I rarely burn. Maybe a little bit on my nose, but that's about it. I have three children, and when my children were born, I could tell they're going to have my complexion. Mm-hmm. But as babies, when I would take them out to the river or to the lake in lots of sun, I'd make sure that I put a giant sunbonnet on them and slather them with lots and lots of sunblock, mm-hmm. right? And the reason why is they had baby skin. Even yeah. if their skin eventually would be able to handle the full sun, at that point, it hadn't hardened off, okay? Mm-hmm. So we're going to think about our little baby tomato plants or petunias or whatever in the same way. Someday, they will be able to handle full sun. But right now, they have not been hardened off for the full sun. And we're not hardening off just for the sun. We're mm-hmm. also hardening off for temperatures and wind. But the sun's probably the biggest one. So how do I get my plants ready to handle, you know, the being out in the baking sun? Mm. Well, we start off now. We're not going to be doing this until about 2 weeks before we're planting. Mm. Okay, so 2 weeks before planting, you're going to start this process. And what you're going to do is you're going to take them outside and put them so that way they're going to get an eastern exposure for about, say, 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Okay, the way I kind of imagine this is like best case scenario is I imagine a giant oak tree. Mm. The first day, we're going to put them right next to the trunk. Mm. And we're probably going to bring them inside if it's mm-hmm. cold at night. And then next day, we're going to bring them out, but we're not going to put it right next to the trunk. We're going to bring it out just a little bit more. Mm. This way they're getting dappled sunlight throughout the day mm-hmm. or eastern exposure. It's mm. getting some light for just a few hours. We just increase the amount of sunlight that they're getting over 10 to 14 days. Mm. By the time we hit the end of the cycle, they're going to be tough and ready to be outside in the sun.
Hmm. That's a great example, great metaphor, one that I can relate to, too. I've never burned, so I can so relate to that. But I was the same way with my kids. I was worried that, because they were a little, especially with our family, we tend to get darker the older we get. Mm-hmm. So they starting out, not as dark, and you worry about that. So it's such a good metaphor, but it's one that I think it also helps us remember to do this with our plants. We don't usually forget to do it with our kids. That connection kind of helps you remember to keep doing this with your plants. That's really helpful.
You know, one thing that will happen is sun scorch. So if you take them straight from inside the house to out in the garden, plant them, you're going to end up with these like little brown spots on the plant. Mm. Is that going to kill the plant? Probably not. Mm. Probably not. It will probably recover. But if we think about what is the purpose of the leaves, the leaves are just to be doing photosynthesis so that way they can create carbohydrates for the plant so the plant can grow. If we've got giant brown spots on those leaves, that's mm. less carbohydrates, less growth for the plant. Mm. It will eventually recover, but if you started your seeds indoors, you're probably thinking like, hey, I want my tomatoes sooner mm-hmm. rather than later. Yeah. That's just slowing down the process. I know we get excited and we want to get out and plant, but we got to be mindful in how we do it.
Yeah. Speaking with Janelle Weir, horticultural educator with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. And Janelle, what about tender bulbs? Want to talk about that a little?
Yeah, so tender bulbs are going to be those absolutely gorgeous flowers, most of the time flowers, but sometimes foliage. So I'm thinking about your cannas, mm. your callas, mm. your canna lilies, your calla lilies, begonias. Mm. Dahlias. So all of these are tender. They're not hardy. When we plant them, we have to dig them up in the fall. Okay. So you could either purchase them now, or maybe you've got some down in the basement. Mm. If you've got them down in the basement, it's time to bring them up. Mm-hmm. If you're purchasing them, you know what? It's not a bad idea to go ahead and get them started now. You could wait. You could wait all the way up and plant them directly in the ground. Mm. But you're going to have those flowers a little bit later. Mm. I'm always kind of itching for those flowers as fast as possible. Yeah. So I traditionally start my begonias now. Just remember from now until June, you can go ahead and get those started.
What are some good things to know as far as containers and media, that sort of thing?
Well, that's kind of the thing. The earlier that you start them, the bigger they're going to be, right? Mm. So, depending on the size of the bulb, you're probably starting these tender bulbs in 6-inch pots or larger. So the thing I start to think about is if you start them really early, like a maniac like me, you might be potting them up before you can take them outside. Oh. So you're going to be just wanting to keep in mind how much space do you have. As far as containers go, like I said, 6-inch pots are probably going to be your best, but you can reuse all sorts of containers, foods, like leftover containers, or I'm kind of thinking about some of those bigger, larger, I'm thinking like restaurant-sized sour cream containers, they tend to be like between, say, an 8-inch, 6 and 8-inch container. All of those are going to be just fine. Just make sure, again, as always, we have drainage holes.
Yeah. When is a good time to start doing this?
I would say now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead and start those tender bulbs now. You can wait. Like I said, if you're not going to have the space for them, you can wait. It's really, with the tender bulbs, you've got a little bit more wiggle room, and it's really just going to be when do you have those blossoms. Mm. Some of those, I know my experience with the begonias have been, they can sit for a while before they finally wake up. And so one thing to keep in mind is, you know, just as long as they're not mushy, if they're just kind of sitting there not doing anything for a while, as long as they're not mushy, if you can reach in there and touch them, just let them sit. They'll eventually wake up.
I would be so hesitant and afraid to touch, to get in there and touch the seeds. I'd be afraid I'd mess something up or whatever. Yep. It's okay to do that. Though.
Yeah.
It's okay. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I would be gentle pulling it out to see if there's any roots. And if there are roots, then I wouldn't pull it out. And I would just assume like, oh, you are growing. You are doing what you're supposed to. Hmm. But if it's not giving you resistance, you can pull it out, take a look at it, you know, dust it off and replant it.
Mm-hmm. What about the light and water situation? Is it similar to what we did with the seeds?
Absolutely. Mm. You want to make sure that you're watering your plants, but you don't want to be watering them if they don't need water. So really just kind of stick your finger. We all have digital water devices. Mm-hmm. They're our fingers.
Yes.
So just
yes.
stick your fingers inside the soil. I usually go down to maybe my second knuckle and see whether or not it's wet or dry. If you're not sure if it's wet or dry, which if you're kind of a weirdo like me and overthink things like, oh, I don't know, is this dry enough?
Yeah.
Wait until the next sunny day and then go ahead and water.
That's a really helpful tip for me. I mean, people like us. That's good to know. What about pruning woody plants as we're getting into our last 5 minutes here? I want to touch on that a little bit.
Yeah, so now's the time to start thinking about pruning. I know there's snow out there, but it's also going to be super warm, and that snow's not going to be there, you know, forever. Mm-hmm. We want to prune our woody ornamentals most of our woody ornamentals, we want to prune late winter to early spring. So as soon as you could get out there, if you need to do some pruning, definitely go ahead. Some reasons why you want to prune: maintain the size of the plant. But you also oftentimes want to get them pruned for airflow. If you've been struggling, and I know folks in the Wisconsin Rapids area have been struggling with their lilacs for the past couple of years.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
You can go ahead and prune them now, thin them out, get some better airflow. Just be aware with those early summer bloomers, lilacs, forsythia. Nothing else is coming to my mind except for those two, but you know the ones that bloom early in the season. Mm-hmm. For those, just be aware if you do go out there and prune right now, you will be pruning some of your blossoms this year. So, you know, you can, for the early summer bloomers, you can wait until just after they bloom. You don't want to wait until fall. You need to prune them right after they bloom, but you can do that. For everybody else, now is the time to start thinking about pruning.
When it comes to pruning, most of us think, oh, cut, you know, that's it. But there are techniques to this that are really helpful for the plant, for the, you know, to keep in mind.
So depending on the type of plant it is, and also, you know, what's going on with the plant, you may want to, there's different techniques, right? So thinking about lilacs, Lilacs are definitely candidates for thinning. And when we're thinning, what we're doing is kind of taking those branches all the way down to the main stem, or we're taking the branches all the way down. If it's a suckering bush, like a lilac, go ahead and take it all the way down to the bottom. What you're going to want to do is take a look at your plant. And now's a great time because it doesn't have any leaves on it, right? Take a look at the plant and pick out 1/3 of the oldest, biggest stems, right? Those are the ones that you want to clean out. No more than 1/3 at a time, but go ahead and take out 1/3 of them. That's going to get better airflow, and it's also going to rejuvenate them. You're going to get some new growth in there, and you're going to get some really pretty flowers or nice new foliage in there.
One of the other things that we love about talking with Janelle is being able to talk about some of the programs that you do and work. And I've heard over the years such great things about these programs and people that are able to attend them. You do a great job with these. Do you have any coming up?
I have some really cool opportunities coming up. So we talked about starting seeds today. If anyone's interested in making the trip up to Mosinee, I will be doing Mosinee has a community education program, and I will be doing a seed starting class there. Seed starting class is March 23rd from 6 to 7:30 p.m. right there at the Mosinee High School. My classes are usually in the library, so come on and find me. To register, contact Michelle at 715-693-2550. If you Google Mosinee Community Education, you're going to find this information. My next program I've got coming up, I'm actually doing this a couple of different places. The class is called All Dressed Up and Nowhere to Grow, Landscape Design 101.
Great name.
Thank you.
Great name.
So it's just basic landscape design. I'm going to be sharing this program at the annual spring conference that is hosted by the Clark County Master Gardeners. That is going to be at the Clark County Courthouse in Neillsville, March 25th. So that's a Saturday. That's not tomorrow, it's March 25th.
Yeah, a week from now. The next Saturday.
Thank you.
Time is a flat circle.
The entire program is going to be from 9:30 to noon. Free program, and they will be serving light refreshments. Nice. I'm also going to be sharing this program at the Portage County Master Gardener public meeting. That's at the Lincoln Center in Stevens Point, March 27th at 6 p.m. I've got another exciting program. This one you don't have to travel to. This one's a virtual program with the LIFE program. LIFE is Learning is Forever through UWSP Continuing Education.
Nice.
So that class, I will be talking about inspiring container planting ideas to get your creative juices going. Like I said, that is a virtual class, Wednesday, March 29th from 1 to 2 p.m. You can register by going to if you Google Continuing Education, LIFE, UWSP, you'll be able to find that information there. And then finally, these are don't get me wrong, I love the other stuff, but this is what I'm super excited about. We have started in-person programming at Focus. Yeah. Everybody is welcome to join us the first three Tuesdays of every month. Somebody from Extension is going to be stopping by. First Tuesdays is going to be therapeutic horticulture. Second Tuesday, nutrition classes. And third Tuesday is financial wellness.
Nice.
My next program is going to be April 4th, 3 to 4 p.m., and we are going to be planting lettuce bowls.
Cool.
So everybody, I am hoping, my plan is for these programs that you come, we get to share, and you go home with an activity.
That's cool. It's such a great idea. And anything to partner with Focus, that just makes our area stronger and helps them doing the great work that they're doing over there. Janelle, I love talking to you. Thank you so much for a great time. And you did a great job today. We did not take a break. You just went the whole run here. Nice work. Thanks for the time, Janelle.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more Morning Magazine for you tomorrow right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.